Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Daddy butter. Give me that daddy butter.
That's a good beat.
Give me that daddy butter.
I haven't heard this in a while.
Give me that, give me that daddy butter.
Brother Hebert, Doug, he's the sponsor of the fan page this week. Have you seen his sponsorship on the fan page?
I have not.
No, John Vaughn has.
Fan page. Yeah, he's on there, I think, occasionally.
Yeah, he posted a picture from the wedding you guys were at on Saturday where he was mimicking Deke Dotem's profile picture in which he's eating a rib. Yeah. And John Vaughn did that with a rib from the wedding.
Yeah.
That's kind of an homage. Homage? Homage to Dotem.
Did someone show me a picture of a giraffe licking your face?
Yeah, they had a little thing there at the after the rehearsal dinner. They went to the zoo there, and they had this place where you walk into this giant giraffe barn, and there's about 10 giraffes, and they say people come in just all day long and feed the giraffes lettuce, and they just keep eating all day long.
And where was this wedding? Zamunda?
Colorado Springs.
Well, they had a petting zoo, bro?
They have a zoo.
It's just a big zoo. Big zoo.
So, but
after the rehearsal
did
dinner,
everyone
they went
get
there
licked
for the
in the
dinner.
Face, or did the giraffe just take a liking to you?
Well, anyone who was up for it got licked on the head by the giraffe. Yeah.
How did it feel, bro?
Well, this big giant tongue.
Mm.
What? Three of you went.
Are you supposed to say tongue meat?
You can. You can.
No, you're supposed to. Say.
I'm listening to a story and liking what I'm hearing.
I just had to mention a giraffe's tongue, and right on cue, three of you go. Mmm.
So
that's
wait,
sick.
But let me understand this. So you're at a wedding, and they go, hey, we're going to go to the petting zoo. Count me in. And they go, hey, who wants a giraffe to lick their face? Oh, I do.
Right.
Well, the giraffes are so nice. Most people just feed them, and they'll eat right out of your hand. Wherever you put the lettuce, they'll eat it.
Right.
And so just to be goofy, I put it on my head and everything, and the giraffe ate it right off my head.
So it wasn't you lured the giraffe into licking your face by placing lettuce
wherever
on your
you
face.
Put the lettuce, they'll eat it. Yeah. Stop saying, Plowsy.
Now, people were making fun of me for spending time watching April the giraffe give birth.
Right.
I wonder if they'll go off on you for actually getting licked by a giraffe.
Well,
probably not, because they might twist it into something vile.
Could.
Yeah. Would be my guess.
Doug, this 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results, but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. We will be out and about here. We got a lot coming up over the next few weeks. Doug, it's kind of exciting. We're just a couple of weeks away.
From one.
The Free Dotem Open. The classic at Tapawingo. And that's presented by Michelob Ultra, with portions of the proceeds going to Three Little Birds for Life. 50 foursomes sold in less than 12 hours. 50 foursomes in less than 12 hours. That means 200 listeners all on a lovely golf course gathered together, having delicious libations and treats, and getting to know each other, and ideally servicing each other after the round.
No, no.
Maybe some, maybe like on the 15th hole.
But there will be fellowship.
You're damn right there will be, Jack.
Who are you playing with? Do you know yet?
I am trying to assemble a team to counter your... I had some friends, and now I might have to ship them out since you and Cletus have professional golfers on
your team. I don't think we do. I think...
You have Jay Delsing on your team?
Yes. No, I don't think he's playing.
Cletus said that he did.
Did he?
Cletus won some event. There's a St. Louis amateur tour? I didn't know this. Yeah, Doug, did you know there's a St. Louis amateur tour?
No.
It's called the SLAT.
Is this really?
Yeah, I think it's Golf Week puts it on in a bunch of different cities.
And Cletus has won back-to-back events.
Yeah. He's the best amateur in town?
I thought that's Skip Berkmeyer.
Well, an A-flight. They have different flights.
Well, so what's the best flight?
I would think championship flight, and then A-flight, B-flight, C-flight.
And what determines what your handicap determines what flight you're in?
Yeah. So he won B flight, shot 80. Congrats to
Doug. I'll tell you, you want to know something about Cletus?
Sure.
Outside of the fact that he takes care of the great Mike Lee.
That's a good man.
Yes, indeed. And while I'm out on the golf course with Cletus and we play, I swear that he's on the phone with Mike a couple of times per round. But he really is. But this guy, listen, here's a guy who struggles to get, I think he's 17th on the slat as far as greens and regulation go.
Okay.
But I don't know anybody who scrambles better. I don't know anybody who scrambles. I guess Mickelson. I guess.
Oh, he's at that level, is he?
But this guy can turn a par out of disaster. like Philly Flopshot. And that's what I would tell you. It'd be fun maybe to see a little Sports Sunday 12-minute feature on him.
Well, 12 minutes might be overdoing it just a little. I don't think
we'd fill 12 minutes, Doug. Think about it.
Yeah, if we were desperate, yeah, we'd go 12. We could stretch it to 13, 14 minutes.
I got permission to do this while you were away at the free Dotem Open, which, by the way, should be great fellowship, but also for a great cause, just getting that cause out there.
Amen,
Jack. But Tim has given me permission to do a booth where for $3, just $3, Tim is going to stop by and he'll tip his cap to any of the players.
It's like Teddy Ballgame did, sir.
I'm going to get rich.
Tim. On Morning After with Tim McKirkin.
Tim McKirkin is going to stand there for 40 minutes
with
me.
He's in a booth.
And people will pay $3. Here's my $3. Okay, here's your time, Tim. And he'll tip his cap to it. And then next.
Yep.
And that's it. That's all they get for it.
Yeah.
Is that the golf tournament, the free Dotem Open?
My booth. And Tim is, I'm going to handle it. I'm just taking a handling fee of 78%.
78% will go to you.
That's a standard fee. Hey, look, everybody. It's at Ryan Kelly. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Ryan.
Good morning. Hey, Jimmy, that's a great idea about the tipping the hat booth. What do you think about a sponsorship idea for that?
Oh, my God. It just got monetized.
And I will take 78% of that, right? Because that's my finder's fee. Yeah.
You know, I get behind things. I'll put dollars behind something if it makes sense in the tipping hat booth.
Ryan does. Are you going to be making trips to Nashville, sir?
Ooh, there it is. Working on that this morning.
Wow.
So Sunday's... Sunday at first was appealing because, you know, it's work doesn't interfere and all that. It's easy in and out kind of deal. Maybe come back early Monday morning instead of trying to attempt to get back after that afternoon game. And you walk out of Bridgestone Arena and you're sitting on Broadway Street.
It's yes, you are.
Just like, okay, that was a great game. I'm going to go ahead to the airport now or get my car and drive home. It just doesn't work out that way. You walk out of Bridgestone and you're like, well, second floor of Tootsie's getting shoulder rubs. You know, you get after it. And I don't know. So then you look at Tuesday because we do business in Nashville, one of our markets, and do a lot of business down in Nashville. So if I go Tuesday, I can hit up the radio stations, you know, that I do business with. I can go to the pre-parties. I can kind of make a work thing out of it.
Nice.
Then I'm out of the office here in St. Louis for a day and a half, and that never really works out well. So, yes, I'm going to go to some games for sure in St. Louis. I'm going to try to catch the Sunday or Wednesday or Tuesday, game down in Nashville next week. Time will tell. We'll see. And maybe it won't even go that long. Maybe I'll have to get in there. Well, I think it has to go to next Tuesday, doesn't it?
Yeah, it will for sure be through Tuesday. Yes.
Well, we'll figure it out. How about you, Tim? Any of you guys got plans to travel? Go see.
Doug, were you guys, the only one I think of us that would possibly be going is Doug.
I don't believe I'm going.
You're not going?
Well, I don't think
Lady
so.
Journalism calls, and Lady Journalism doesn't care if Doug has other plans.
Well, there's a lot of journalism to be done right here in St. Louis. Right now we're working on a 12-minute feature about Cletus and his golf plan.
Yeah, I heard that. Maybe we can put something together and I can scramble with him myself if he's that good.
Right. Heck of a golf shot maker.
It's a beautiful day to talk sports. It's a beautiful day to listen to sports. It's a beautiful day to refinance your house. And I mean that. Read an article late last night that mortgage interest rates, and they backed it up with the data, but mortgage interest rates are back to the pre-election level. So after November, the interest rates shot up about a point. We've been gradually coming back down slowly, slowly. But here we are again. So if you weren't able to refinance last year to get one of these ridiculously low rates, give me a call today. I mean, homes are skyrocketing, so maybe you don't need the PMI anymore. Maybe you can get approved now. Maybe you get some cash out. There's just options are all on the table, and I'd love to work them up for you. 314-781-9700, 781-9700. Always apply online on the second best website in the world, next to Inside SDL, thehomeloanexpert.com. And a big shout-out to the great American Larry Nichols for his incredible 30-minute pregame pre-show last night on Facebook on the Fan Pin. And definitely took 30 minutes out of my life that I'll never get back, but it was very entertaining.
But it was worth it.
Hang up and listen, boys. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Ryan. There he is, the title sponsor of this award-winning presentation, Ryan Kelly. Doug, he is the best in the business. Let's see what we have. Derek Gould's at 8:30. Chris Mason's at 9:20. So, as I said, Iggy and I were, for the purpose of... doing show prep on Friday night. The job is never done. The work is not complete.
Well, you have the passion. You have a passion for this.
Thank you.
A real passion.
Thank you. And Keisha Gray didn't ask me anything. Now
you love her.
I do. I feel she's another one I discovered, Doug. You know, I don't know who my best discovery is. Some people would say Christy Mack.
And when you say you discover them, you mean someone else discovered them and put them on tape, and you said, wow, I like her, and that
No. I have intel.
I'm going to give you a ring on that, Doug. I think you're right.
I have intel, and then when they only have like a couple hundred Twitter followers, I then forward their talents to Caden and the Plow Predators guy, Manuel. And I'm telling you, within 30 days, Manuel's banging away, Jack. He's banging away, Jack. Mm. So I am the scout. I am the scout.
You discover he bangs.
I'm the Branch Rickey of the San Fernando Valley.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but she was cute on the Cosbys, but then she didn't do anything after that.
Who's that, Tempest Bledsoe?
Keisha.
Keisha Knight-Pulliam.
No. That's Keisha Knight-Pulliam. This is Keisha Gray. And she didn't ask me anything. Doug, you ever done an Ask Me Anything on Reddit? You ought to do it.
Why?
Because you get to interact with the audience.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
You've never done a Reddit? I've done a Reddit.
No.
Now, I'm looking at these clips, and it looks like the first clip is 1 second long. The second clip is 1 second long. The fourth clip is 1 second long. The sixth clip is 2 second long. And I'm starting to think maybe my vision of what this would be is different than... Iggy, were you the editor?
Yeah, because when I texted you, because all the drops you had...
Well, I don't like when we
Facebook
play like
page.
3 minutes of audio. I don't like that.
Well, it wouldn't
be
that
terrible
long because there's a lot of really short drops. So I just put them in all as drops individually.
So Doug,
and her soundbite. Let me guess if I can figure out what her sound bites will be. Yes,
that's not fair. That's not. That's a serious charge. Let me go with. She was asked on the Ask Me Anything. Anytime you have a chance to ask a question of an adult film star, what's your first question?
How'd you get in the business, man?
No. Oh. Stupid.
What's your favorite French fry?
Yes.
That's what you asked.
So here's her answer.
Fries, because that's my go-to for everything.
Crinkle, curly, or tater tot?
Or waffle?
Or
Skinny fries.
And then she went on to say some stuff about Steak and Shake.
Okay.
We'll leave that to the imagination.
Boy, that was good.
Right.
That was good.
I'm starting to think when I was visualizing, when Iggy was visualizing, two different things.
Really good.
Maybe I just need to learn how to edit. Doug, this is Keisha's thoughts on her STDs.
Jeez,
no.
Christmas.
Check, please.
STDs happen less often than you think, bitch.
Wow. She is articulate. I'll give her that.
Now we're starting to get...
See, you right, have a so bit this, of an attitude. If you didn't so want someone, to do it, just say no.
So someone asked her about that, and she took offense.
Yes, that's what happened there. Here is what her plans are after she gets out of the industry.
All right.
I want to probably further my cello talents.
Oh, brother.
Or, I don't know. I really want to direct. I have lots of things I want to do.
Mostly the cello, though. Mostly the cello.
Got to have to ratchet up the energy level just a bit, sister.
It was like one in the morning.
What was that one?
You're a goof.
Was she talking to Doug? Was she on the line?
I was not on the line. Want to direct. Isn't that what they all say?
I would like to further my cello
career
talents.
Oh, you yo-yo Ma.
Plowboy, some people were wondering what turns are on. Let's find out. That's clip number 12.
Yeah, right at the Lieber Plows Eve.
What's your biggest turn on?
There's a Mike Francesa pause here.
I like really manly men that are like have a jawline that's like super defined. I love hair.
Yeah.
And I like
think about it for a moment.
I like voices on females.
Voices.
And the cello.
And blondes. And brunettes.
Sure. Is there any particular drug that she's on, or is it just all of them?
I just don't know, like, it just seems that every one of these, when we have them on or whatever, it's kind of the same stuff. It's not that wild or entertaining. Maybe I'm... No.
She said she likes skinny fries.
Cello.
Was she asked who was big for her?
She was asked what animal she likes. Take a listen, would you?
Okay.
I like leopards and dolphins.
Oh, wow.
I like kittens and bunnies.
Hmm.
And that man, that man voice chick kept piping in. So
I had a problem with that.
Yeah, she should have shut up.
I had a real problem. And I still watched 90 minutes of this.
You watched that for 90 minutes.
I had the Larry Sanders Show going on HBO Go. I had this on my laptop, along with, I don't know which poker site I was on, and my Steak and Shake. That's what I was doing.
Can I make a
suggestion? No one should envy this.
Can I make a suggestion? Now that you may have stepped back from some of the day-to-day responsibilities, perhaps a part-time job at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, my God!
And selling soaps.
Therefore, you don't have to spend 90 minutes to kill some time listening to that.
Well, I'm guessing she wasn't capable of running the laptop on her own. So the man voice chick with the bowl cut haircut.
Yeah, she did have the Prince Valiant.
Yeah. She would, like, ask the questions, find the question. But then there was a girl in the background who was also piping in.
Mm-hmm. Piping hot.
Yeah, and then she would just, then Gray would just kind of pipe in, answer a question. But
can you play?
You didn't like the format, did you?
Just let me just hear these clips and let Doug and the cat hear them as well.
No, we're good.
Clip one.
We're good.
Hit the lever, Posey.
I don't have a sheet in front of me.
Perfect.
Well, no. I mean,
it says assless chaps.
Oh, no.
Some assless chaps.
Didn't even.
It was important that we got to that.
Well, because the man chick started talking into that. I had trouble editing it because she started laughing.
All right. Now, this says the word a-hole. We can't say that.
No.
Word.
Oh,
I bleeped it, but just it was just a drop that we could use later on.
I see.
So some of these are drops and some of these are just bona fide standalone answers. That's the difference.
I visualized like 15-second soundbite. That's what I visualized, and it's my fault for not conveying that. Although now we will have some drops here to add to it, because I said we will have a collection of drops from this for the ages. Life After Adult, we already played that. Peanut butter. What's peanut butter on your nose?
Just something she said.
You get like peanut butter on the tip of your nose.
Is this girl a victim of human trafficking? Or has anyone checked on that?
Doug, I know you were asking in the pre-show meeting if she would ever shoot with any she-males. Here's her answer.
Can you shoot with she-males?
Do what?
Reasonable response. That's the first response she's had yet that's been reasonable.
Is she still paused right now, or is she?
No, that's my fault. I could have put more in there, but she hemmed and hawed and then just said no.
didn't really
give an explanation. Just
so
no.
Some people troll this woman while she's on there. Right?
No, there's probably only two people in the whole world who watch the whole thing, and they happen to be in the studio.
And then the fries too.
I like kittens and bunnies.
Did she say, like, kitchens and bunnies?
I like kittens and bunnies.
Kittens.
It's like somebody wrote it for her and she just read it.
Did you guys submit questions?
Yeah,
no, I watched this after the fact. I didn't know that it was going on. Otherwise, I would have been very active. I would have been very active. And kind of like Ken Bone, someday they would have gone, we discovered Tim McKernan's Reddit account and we see he had a very long interaction with Keisha Gray.
So, did you guys both find out about this and one notified each other?
No, I posted it on the fan pit.
Okay, so that's how you
And
knew.
Doug, for I know you think the fan page is a harbor and a dark night for losers.
Pretty much, yeah.
There were only two other people who participated in this discussion.
Oh, good.
Because these people had lives, but I was on my couch at 9 o'clock on a Friday night watching 90 minutes of this.
And so was I.
And Iggy saw it, and then he started commenting on it, and then one other guy, and it was delightful. It was a three-person conversation.
What about the Redbirds? Couldn't you watch that? Couldn't you?
I think they had the night off.
No, Friday night they did not.
I think they're off on Friday.
They had a big W that you weren't part of because you instead wanted to recap with Keisha.
That's right.
All right. How dare you, sir?
Yeah, I missed the whole thing as well.
Guys, I'm a big fan of Iggy complaining about people piping into a conversation when they aren't wanted. Thank you. That's from Butch McGuire.
Hey, knock it off, McGuire.
I'll tell you, Butch McGuire and Mae Young's newborn hand just have a thing with you and the CJ6, Iggy. There's a list of enemies.
Yeah, Swope.
You're so, like a Swope?
Well, you're a critic of Swope, and then he fires back. He doesn't go after you. It's been my perception that you've been a little critical. I know you don't mean any. You like him. It's nothing. But so he fires back after you pick at his segments.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Guys, Keisha's like a lion, saving all her energy for the Big Bang, Believe me, when this little gazelle shyly walks by, I fully expect her to devour me. Thanks. That's from Boo Radley's crippling social anxiety.
Knock it off, Radley.
The name is better than the actual text.
Is she the one we got on when she was stripping in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
That, okay.
And she was talking to somebody in a bathtub. And then she told Doug to shut up or something like that.
I don't remember.
Do you have any of those at your disposal, Plow? Predator?
Who said, who's this Doug and why can't he hear me? Who said that?
I think that might have been Keisha Gray.
Was it?
They're all the same to me, even because they all say basically the same. They kind of say.
Who's this Doug and why can't he hear me?
Wasn't that funny?
We're talking to a girl!
Doug, oh boy!
I do play the cello.
There it is. There's another cello reference. Yeah. This cello. Didn't you play the cello? You played the licorice stick.
I played the licorice stick. Played the clarinet. Yep.
I like the sounds he makes.
See? Pretty good.
Okay. I dropped out of the clarinet in about eighth grade.
I remember.
And that's when you started to strip?
No.
That was later.
No, that hadn't happened yet.
Guys, have the cat and Doug get closer to the mic. At this point, I think people are just effing with us.
Yeah. We're right next to the mic.
We are. Our mouths are close.
Well, not to each other, but to the mics.
Right.
I like kittens and bunnies.
Didn't you write a column called that one time?
Puppy dogs, rainbows, and ice cream. Similar thought. Guys, Ken Bone was at the Blues game the other night. Get him back on the phone. It's from the Hoosier or Huntley. I wonder what he's doing. Is he still making appearances, making cash?
He's doing some work for Victory Men's Health.
Yeah, that's right. Bright I guess I've seen him pop up in Facebook on it.
It's funny how now we've, after going through a very emotional election... for I think everyone involved, we don't care to discuss politics at all because it's nauseating.
Yeah,
I mean, really, we used to talk about it a lot, and now I don't think anyone.
Well,
has a stomach
I enjoyed
for it
to a point, and then it got but I felt like we had to get to the finish line of the election day, but then since I don't really, but I mean, I will.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great. How's Joe Paterno? Are we going to bring that back?
Did you hear the woman fall out of
how
the
about her. How about that hole? How about that whole deal?
Now, that makes me smile, but for the most part, any discussion of politics makes me want to hide in a corner.
Yeah, I used to, and this goes back a long time, a decade, I would look forward, again, speaking to how super cool I am, look forward on Sunday mornings to all of the Sunday morning news shows that I've DVR'd and Sal in, and now I'm just kind of like... I'll put them on, but I'm just kind of, I'm not really all that engaged. It doesn't fascinate me, you know? It's not like a philosophical discussion. It's like a recitation of talking points. And so, therefore, it doesn't really fascinate me.
And I blame Kasich for shrugging and going, there, no one's calling on me. That's who I blame.
That's when it all started to fall apart.
Now, he did like a two-hour town hall last night, I saw.
For what purpose?
I don't know, but I just know he was flipping through stations, and I saw he was answering questions on a stage. It looked like a debate, except it was just him and Anderson Cooper.
Too late.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Should have gotten into the election instead of shrugging your shoulders and moping.
CNN's doing that a lot. They're like every town other halls? Week, they're putting town halls together with different people.
Well, Barnhart Brawler says this, Doug. Most of us on the losing team have been behaving badly, so yes, talking politics is disgusting lately. Mm-hmm. That's from the Barnhart Brawler.
Wow, a rare admission.
Yeah, at least he's got that right.
So you and the Barnhart Brawler now have common ground.
Well, on that point, yeah. You wonder when it's all going to end. When do you stop protesting and dressing up as ISIS now? That's one thing they're doing.
Who's doing that?
You haven't seen these kids on the street with the all black outfits and the mask on? Oh, that's
I didn't know they were trying
now.
To be ISIS.
Yeah, that's it now. Congratulations. You're dressing up like you're ISIS. Man, you ought to be proud of that.
Who's like where? Like, is this
maybe
all over the country?
Some of these protests that are going on.
Are they
yeah.
intentionally trying to look like ISIS? Or are
so,
they just
yeah.
dressing in black, which is...
They call them Antifa, anti-fascist. They're going out and protesting all over the country. Yeah. You know, haven't seen that?
No, I really haven't.
Well,
have you seen it, the cat?
I've seen the protests, I haven't seen
Americans dressing up as ISIS.
Yeah, I've seen them dressed in black, but just because you dress in black doesn't, I didn't know that.
Well, that's
maybe
the point.
I'm not arguing with you.
Now, Gary Player was down at the Ozarks, and he always dresses in all black.
So did Johnny Cash. Was Johnny Cash?
It's not him. A bunch of them were arrested this weekend because they showed up with the hoods on, and I don't know if it's Texas. I believe somewhere in Texas.
That was where Texas?
Where they passed a law where you can no longer protest with a mask on. Originally, it was designed to keep the KKK out, and now they're enforcing it to keep these people out.
Stephen Wildwood says, where does Doug see this S?
Well, it's out there.
No, I saw it on internet the other day.
So, are they trying to look like ISIS?
The guy said,
so American citizens are dressing as ISIS.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was somebody standing next to him that they were ready to get into a fist fight because this guy was dressed as ISIS and portraying himself as a member of ISIS, protesting, and this guy was getting ready to fight him.
You know, this world, if I could do one
thing...
Sorry,
Bush McGuire, I piped in there.
I would create a giant creek.
Oh,
and then
whoa.
All Americans could just go on a float trip together, link arms, and experience fellowship.
At Garrison's.
And just kind of talk out the differences and find the middle ground. And then stop and have some of those barbecue sandwiches that they will prepare for mm-hmm. you. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine how much of a better place America would be
if
we could all go on a giant float trip together?
Sure. I don't know that it's going to happen.
The float trip?
I mean, you need a really big farther creek. Apart rather than closer together.
You really need a big creek or river.
An ocean. You could do it at an ocean. There's room
but
out there.
That's not really floating.
You could float on an ocean.
Flopping around in the waves. So
we're not all going to fit on a river. We would fit on an ocean.
What about the Nile? The Nile's wide.
The Nile's not big enough.
Got to look.
River de Pere?
River de Pere, not big enough.
Be fun.
Well, that's the only thing that's going to save us is a giant communal float trip. Or maybe everyone getting together on the Becky Thatcher. No wives.
And no wives allowed. Significant others. Doug, the official Scotch the morning after is Monkey Shoulder with a cheeky disregard for tradition and a commitment to unconventional. Monkey Shoulder looks to bring great Scotch whiskey to a new generation of whiskey drinkers. Monkey Shoulder whiskey, not the original whiskey like Doug, more original than that, like Tim.
I agree.
We really missed your striking abilities, Doug.
Ben Fred would strike, he just knocked the thing over.
He doesn't know how to do it.
It takes a certain touch to do it. Sure it does. But Ben Fredrickson was using this gong, wasn't
it? Yeah, by design.
And Jay was not very good at it either.
Jennings.
I got to pop out for a bit. Is that okay? I got to go interview John Oates.
John Oates.
Of Hall & Oates fame?
Yeah.
They're coming to the Scotch Trade on Saturday, right?
May 6th, I think. So next Saturday. Week from Saturday.
Week from Saturday.
Can you ask two questions for me?
Sure. I have none, so give me as many as you want.
Okay. Anyone call him Oatsy?
Oatsy.
And also, what is his favorite type of
French fries? Is he aware of former Blues forward Adam Oates? That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Are they related?
I'll talk about the Hull & Oates and favorite French fry.
French fry, please.
I got to get something for a postcard, and if I can't talk.
Oh, just play some of the Keisha Gray bites and let him react. Good morning, Derek.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Great to hear from you. Thank you for putting up with our discussion. On what were we discussing?
I forget.
John Oates.
There was politics and a float trip, and then the band that I think is opening for Tears for Fears.
Yep, that's right. That's what I have on my show prep sheet.
Did you get that right?
Yep, that's it.
Wait. Hall & Oates is opening for Tears for Fears?
I think that is. I think they are touring together.
Hall & Oates the bigger group?
Yeah, I would think Hall & Oates is the bigger group. Actually,
well,
I agree
with
you.
30 years ago,
many more hits.
But that's just my opinion.
Maybe it's more like a doubleheader.
You think Tears for Fears is bigger than Hall & Oates? Really?
I mean, personally.
Do you really, honestly? I mean, when I think of Tears for Fears or Shout, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, Sowing the Seeds of Love. Doug, am I missing anybody?
No, Convoy. You got them. That Convoy was somebody else.
On to the next one with Swizz Beatz.
Don't say Swizz Beatz.
Yeah, I think if you were to, like, you know, take your iPod or phone or whatever and sort by the number of times you've played a song, I'm thinking Tears for Fears just absolutely crushes Hall & Oates.
Doug, does Tears for Fears crush Hall & Oates on your phone?
I don't think it does.
Hold on. Let's workshop this before we talk Cardinals baseball. Cardinals pushing to get back to .500.
Right.
All right, so if you're going to workshop this and try to compare the work, did you ever see, and let's be honest about this, the video for Private Eye and the way that Oates was mugging for the camera?
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on.
And you're telling me that's not the headliner? Yeah. You, sir, are wrong.
Oh, my God.
I think you're using anecdotal evidence on a small sample size. I want some real metrics here, Kat. Come with it.
Doug, give it to him.
Has Tears for Fears ever worn a trench coat in a video?
Ooh, good question.
All right, you may step
I don't think
down.
So.
Game over.
No. Didn't Tears for Fears.
But has Hall and Oates ever wanted to rule the world?
Well, they did there for a while. But I think Tears for Fears came around probably 15 years after Hall and Oates were in their prime.
That is true.
So it's probably a generational thing. If you're a little older, you think it's Hall & Oates.
When did Hall & Oates come out? Because Tears for Fears had Everybody Wants to Rule the World. Was that 86? Hall & Oates wasn't around 71.
Years, but I think it was the next kind of wave of pop music. You know, sort of Hall & Oates would have been, at the vanguard of MTV, and then Tears for Fears kind of got it.
Doug, you like that, the vanguard?
No, let's not ever say vanguard on this show.
Why?
We don't know what that means.
I thought that was good.
Hall & Oates is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you nitwits, from an unnamed
So is Pearl Jam.
Yeah, but they're not in our discussion.
We so is Tupac now.
Tears for Fears, Hall & Oates, one's a Hall of Famer.
I think Paul McCartney is like 3 times.
Yeah, and he's also been knighted.
Huh. Yeah, he has been knighted. That's true.
Anyway, Cardinals look to get back to .500 tonight, Derek. It's a far cry from where they were when they were 3-9.
It is, and they could end this series 22 games in. They could be at 11-11 or even 12-10. If they sweep the Toronto Blue Jays, and we can just call the first 22 games of the season a mulligan. So, and no one in the division has really distanced themselves. And you look at the division standings, and they're all kind of clustered around that 8 to 10, 11 win range. So no one really has leapt ahead of the pack. They've all been kind of scuffling. They all have their warts, if you will, some deeper and uglier than others. But, you know, the Brewers at Miller Park were just the elixir the Cardinals needed to kind of get their footing. And this homestand sets up quite nicely for them to not only get to 500, as you mentioned, but not settle for 500, to kind of take off from there. When you got these are all teams that they should beat. These are all series that they should win, and they're all at home. So, you know, it's a good opportunity for them to let bygones be bygones and be the team they promised.
You know, I see on social media, and people tweet at me, and they go, well, it's the same team. I'm not really feeling better about any improvement. And it is true. I mean, they're still making some defensive mistakes and mistakes on the base path. But the big difference is the starting pitching has been good, and the bullpen has solidified.
Yeah, I mean, they have a top 5 ERA for the starting rotation. And that's without the two guys who they started 1 and 2 finding their groove. Wainwright's coming off a good start, but Martinez, other than opening night, really hasn't pitched that well at all. So they are sitting with a top 5 ERA, mostly because of Mike Leake and Michael Wacha, guys who have pitched very well. Mike Leake is coming off an excellent spring, and that's spilling into a so far excellent start to the season. I mean, I think that's almost where the real standings are. Benjamin Hockman and I took a look at this, if you'll allow me a plug in a best podcast in baseball, where, you know, you look at the win-loss record, you look at the run differential, and there's really nothing to tell you about where these teams stand in relation to each other. They're just kind of all a muddled mess. And when you look, though, however, at the rotation and the innings that the starters are handling and the ERAs that they have, there's a clear distinction. There's the Pirates and the Cardinals are in the top 5 in baseball. And you know, then you have the Cubs and the Reds and the Brewers. They're actually in the lower third, and 2 of them are in the lower 5. So you kind of get a sense as to who has staying power and where some of the frays in the game for each team are starting to show up.
You find it encouraging at all that the Cardinals are where they are now, almost 500, and really haven't really hit much at all, especially at the top of the lineup?
Yeah, but I think that's how they're going to have to win games. I think that's why we heard so much about, you know, defense and athleticism and pitching, because, look, pitching has to be their edge. And for pitching to be their edge, they have to put in a priority on playing strong defense behind them and being at most opportunistic. This is not a team that can hit for the power like last year's team. This is a team that has to be a little bit more like that 2013 team, one that excels with timely hitting, putting the ball in play, lots of action on the bases, and is entirely based around OBP. So I think, you know, the offense is going to be better than it showed. It has to, just because, you know, Dexter Fowler hasn't gotten going yet. He's a better offensive threat than he's been so far this season. And I think when you get him going, then you'll see more of the lineup going. But I don't think this is going to be a juggernaut offensively. They're going to have to win close games. The premium is going to be on starting pitching. the bullpen holding leads and the defense not giving the other team extra outs to goose along what may be a better offense.
You mentioned Dexter Fowler, who's off to a slow start. You were not in Milwaukee. The great Rick Hummel was. But it seemed like the heel bursitis came out of nowhere. Mike Matheny said it's the first he's heard of it. Do you have any idea or hearing anything whether or not this is something that they're going to keep their eye on?
Oh, definitely keep their eye on. You know, like you said, where it came out of nowhere, where the slide into third base, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, well, there's an issue. So it seemed like something that was there that he felt he had managed was aggravated to a point that he didn't miss much time. But that's what they're going to keep their eye on. And they're also going to want to know, you know, was that part of, I'm sure this conversation has already taken place, was that any part of the issues at the plate? Remember Yankee Stadium, I believe it was, where there were times where he looked off, where it looked like he wasn't quite aware of the pitch or recognizing the pitch. And he talked to Mike Matheny and then talked with us later about how he just had to alter some mechanics at the plate. He was closing himself off from being able to spot where pitches were going, especially from the left side, entirely from the left side. And you wonder if maybe that was a subconscious change just because of comfort. You know, the body protects itself, and it's going to make a physical change if it's in pain. And if he was in some kind of soreness but thought he could manage it, then maybe that altered things for him at the plate. That's purely speculation, but that's a question that'd be asked.
They've got Toronto here now in town. This is a team that's very good the last couple of years, but now sport the worst record in baseball. Is it just a matter of injuries that have caught up with them? Donaldson, Tulowitzki?
Yeah, and some departures and some aging and just all sorts of things. Sort of a rudderless team, you know, a team that kind of is caught in between. You know, they were a contender, a real vibrant, slugging offensive team. You know, when they went and got David Price a few years ago and got to the playoffs and have been to the playoffs or been a playoff team, but you kind of wonder if that window slid shut here. Even during spring, you kind of were wondering that, and if they've it's time for them to kind of move on from this model and move on to a next model. They have leadership that is real interested in trying to build, not for the immediate run, but for a long-term run. That's what we hear a lot from a lot of teams, you know, but sort of in the Cleveland model, just Cleveland with money. And so you wonder how far deep they have to go, how many injuries they have to sustain before this is, you know, Toronto entirely could be one of the first sellers of the season. You know, once we kind of get into the middle of the year, that June, July area, then everybody's kind of looking around for trades. You could see Toronto sort of starts to do what, do in the season what the White Sox pulled off this past offseason.
You know, the Cardinals collectively, as Doug points out, they just haven't got it going. The bats have been cold. I mean, up and down the lineup. But two guys seem to be picking it up. Wong seems to be getting himself back in a groove, and the same for Grichuk. Do you see those two guys getting some traction?
Yeah, I thought Wong had a pretty strong series. I know there was an error, but I think overall in Milwaukee you saw more of the kind of game, not just offensively, but, you know, also in the field that they want to see. Obviously, you know, maybe a lot more success or more conservative on the bases would help. But I think you kind of saw, I guess even with some of those hiccups, you kind of saw the game that Colton Wong can bring. Upside offensively, upside defensively, and some hiccups along the way kind of thing. I think that's the case. I think you've seen better from Grichuk than his numbers would imply. I think we've seen a guy who is still, I mean, he's making a concerted effort to be the guy who drives pitches within the strike zone, that hits mistakes over the wall or off the wall and doesn't get himself out. And, you know, I think we've seen more of that, even though the results haven't really been there. I think we've seen some walks from him that in the past he would have tried to force the issue. I think we've seen some patience from him at the plate where in the past he would have tried to reach out of the zone. I think there's been a lot more indicators that are positive for Grichuk, even in the slow start, than, you know, that batting average or whatever number you want to point to would indicate.
Derek Gould with us here every Tuesday of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Cardinals and Blue Jays tonight. 10-game homestand. The Cardinals, 3 against the Blue Jays, 3 against the Reds, and Love 4 against the Brewers. Big week in St. Louis sports with the Blues hosting the Predators and the Cardinals and the Blue Jays. Derek, we appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much.
All right, thanks. I hope Kat invites me on his float trip.
Oh, there you go.
The whole world will be invited, and we will link arms and share fellowship and kind of workshop our differences.
Doug, total record sales, 40 million. Hall & Oates, 6 number one songs. Tears for Fears record sales, 30 million. 2 number one songs. Case closed. Suck It. It's from Mark and Muscuda in Hoke.
Wow, he laid out quite a case there.
He sure did.
We must all step down, except I said Hall & Oates should be the headliner.
So did I.
They're a bigger group.
I think it's more like a doubleheader.
Oh, double ender?
No, double header, where you got two big-time bands. One just happens to be going first.
Can you explain that again, please?
So two big-time bands.
And then they'll do one
Somebody's
song,
go
and then
first.
The other guy
no,
will sing a
no.
song,
they'll
and
do
then
the,
they'll do a medley.
That won't
and
be how it works. One will do their entire set. We'll take a little break.
Okay.
Then the second will come and do their set. It doesn't mean the ones who go first are the lesser band.
Who would you say is a bigger star, Billy Joel, Elton John?
Elton John. Barely.
That's the point. I'm sure plenty would say Billy Joel, especially in the United States. But I saw them perform together in 2009. I think one night one opens, the other night the other opens. But let me tell you a story about this show. I was looking forward to the performance by Billy Joel of Uptown Girl, not necessarily because I love the song that much, but because I think it's the first time I got a tingly feeling was during the Uptown Girl video with Christy Brinkley. I remember getting a tingly feeling and I'd start rubbing up against the carpet in the living room.
Hold on. Doug, your thoughts on
my
that.
My dog
Doug,
does
your,
that.
Doug, your thoughts on
One
that.
One of my dog rubs it, scoots across. Is that what you were doing? You were scooting on your hind end?
That's pretty perverted. I was like 6.
Oh.
So anyway, I was looking forward to the performance of Uptown Girl. And you know what happened? I'll tell you exactly what happened. It was May 2009, since you were going to ask. It was May 2009 at the Scott Trade Center. And the next thing I know is Billy Joel is now laying on his piano in a nodding, admiringly way, like as a parody, and admiring Elton John as Elton John performed Uptown Girl.
Mm.
So can you imagine going to the Hall & Oates Tears for Fears concert? And next thing you know, Tears for Fears is performing Maneater or Private Eyes.
Stealing their songs.
Essentially.
Right.
And that's what happened there. And I don't know if I'll ever get over that.
I think that would be tough to get over that. Yeah. I'm not surprised at all that it still has an effect
8 years
on
later,
you today.
Sir.
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. You had the tingly feeling and you lost it right there as you scooted across the carpet.
Right. Well, that was like 84. But when I was watching at Scott Trade Center, I was looking forward to recapturing the tingly feeling. And Elton John performed the song. There was no Christy Brinkley and there was no Billy Joel.
You don't want to see that. No. And when I hear them sing their hits, I don't want them to sing it in a different way. I want to hear the hit like it sounded on the radio.
Yeah, it's such a tough spot for them because they want to try and improv with it because they're so tired of playing it. But you got to do it. That's what the people came for.
Right.
That's why we talk about fries all the time.
Exactly. That's what people want.
If it made you $90 million because it sounded one way, keep singing it that way if you please. I don't want to hear you slow it down or anything. Or I want to hear it the same way.
Well, Iggy's not here, so I'm going to do my brush with rock and roll greatness. Back when I was attending the great Geneseo State, the lunch meet major,
right.
I worked a work study, which meant eventually I learned if I just bring a clipboard to my work study job, I could just roam around and then sign in for the hours. I didn't have to lift stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I did for my work study. And this gave me free range, so I would walk around, and there was the tour bus for 38 Special, and the guy was relieving himself.
Was he?
Next to the bus. And even though I was just a kid work study, I was carrying a clipboard. So I said, hey, don't take leaks back there. And he scurried into the bus.
To take his leak there.
I scared a guy from 38 Special.
They always had beards, didn't they?
Yeah.
Hey, the Cat and Doug, get closer to the mic. And Iggy, step back from the mic. And when I say step back, I mean step back into the middle lane of 270.
Hey, that's not
bad. Painter guy. Iggy is not currently in the Gateway Buick GMC studios because he's interviewing John Oates.
Right.
Now this was.
We never hear these interviews.
Well, he'll give us a postcard sometimes.
Where would they air?
Here, if he puts together a short postcard, right. Usually 6-7 minutes.
Right.
Well, yeah, I'd be interested in his interview with John Holmes.
So we bagged Oates as a guest on the show, on the big show. I guess.
Right.
We did.
And I'll tell you why.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, I want to give my reasoning. It's like when Don Corleone turned down Sollozzo. I respect the offer, but I'd like to give you my reasons why I'm turning you down. It's a radio tour, and I don't feel like I can get into that place with the guest that I like to get into.
The tingly place he talked about.
No. That's when I was rubbing up against the carpet. I think it was like an orangish, reddish carpet. It was South City, the 80s.
Yeah, with
the
don't seem to be intrigued by that.
And this is where I want to get into a spot where I'm at a comfort level with the guest, and I can ask some questions that I otherwise wouldn't. And you can't do that when the guest has like got a publicist in his ear saying, hey, you got to, you know, go hit Louisville in 2 minutes, so wrap it up. You know what I'm saying?
No.
So I'd rather let Iggy do his quick hits than edit it together, and that's my reason. That's my reason.
No, your reasoning's fine. I think your analogy was poor. It's more like the restaurant scene where they were talking to Sollozzo was talking to Michael, and he said, get the veal because it's the best in the city.
Right.
So there's a better reason.
Doug, does that
I don't really
does that clarify?
That. I don't follow that.
Get the veal.
I have to watch the movie again.
Why
maybe,
should he get the veal? Best in the city.
Best in the city.
It's exactly what Tim was talking about.
Then he got shot. Yeah. He got shot right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because he had a gun behind the toilet.
Yeah. Right.
Tessio put it there or Clemenza? Tessio? Clemenza.
Tessio. No. Clemenza was a fat one. It was right. Clemenza. Yeah.
You know what they did? We don't say fat anymore. We say morbidly obese.
They left it noisy to scare off any spectators, witnesses.
Now, why would you drop the gun after you shoot people?
I wonder what is that about?
Just leave your prints right there for the police to get you?
Prince passed away a year ago Sunday.
I said Prince.
I know, like, and I said
Prince.
He passed away a year ago.
Wouldn't you want to take the gun with you and maybe throw it in a river or something?
No, they put special tape. You didn't see the movie. Put special tape on the handle and the trigger.
That's right.
So you just drop the gun. But you don't do it in a demonstrative way so that the restaurant folks still think you have it.
And restaurant type places.
Well, I'm just thinking really, about, just thinking about getting
you
get, caught.
What you're talking about it's just a distraction. The important point is that he said veal, and then he gave the explanation as to why. Because it's the best in the city.
Okay, but if you drop the gun and then the police come, they find it, they could maybe trace it back to you or get the fingerprints on it.
They didn't have that technology in the 40s.
They had the tape. He put the special tape on it.
Well, there's no fingerprints on the tape?
You're telling me that Clemenza...
Can't take the tape off?
You're going to tell... Well, they didn't handle the finger, but they put gloves and they put the tape on, so there's no fingerprints.
You're embarrassing yourself, yeah. Doug, and therefore you're embarrassing all of us.
And then what do you think? That Clemenza's going to give him a gun with a serial number on it that he bought at the local firearm store?
Well,
come on,
well,
Doug, you're better than that.
What's the upside of just
Seamaster.
Dropping
Seamaster's
it?
Seamaster's getting tired of this. He said there were no fingerprint databases in the 1940s, Doug.
How do you know? Are you sure about that?
Seamaster was with the FBI in the 40s.
You just made that up. I'm sure they had fingerprints back then.
You make me sick.
Why don't you just take the gun with you?
You make me sick. You're trying to tell all Italian Americans to organize crime. You make me sick, sir.
Guys, in the book, the police captain and Michael stand up 69 to work out their differences. Monty Donovan's pretty. Is that true? That's a difficult feat to pay off just if you're with a woman, much less if you're with a heavy older man.
Yikes. Oh, yikes.
Especially in a restaurant.
Now, I'll ask you this, Doug.
Would you lose your appetite if you saw a mobster stand up 69 with a police officer, like if you were at a place on the hill?
It'd be hard to eat the veal even if it was the best in the city. Now, Doug, if you're a hitman, right, but you order with the guy, and they bring the food, and the food is good, do you think to yourself, this is pretty good, I'm going to enjoy this for a while, then I'll get to the job at hand?
Yes, you would
Or do you
first.
Just take care of
no,
the job?
No, you'd eat first.
So you
Otherwise,
ahead.
You're going to get hungry later and stop, and they'll go, hey, there's that guy who just shot the other guy.
Right.
Go ahead and eat first.
Boy, 8 o'clock hours brought to you by Sildenafil.
And they're proud.
Right. The same active ingredient, Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine or Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. Tim, that's a stupid point. There's no way they could stand up in 69. Michael had his jaw wired shut from getting hit.
He did.
True dat.
That is true. Mm-hmm.
Guys, Fred Rutherford had Larry Mondello killed for not protecting the Don because of the sniffles. That comes from Ward Cleaver. Aren't those people from...
Leave It to Beaver, yeah. I remember the day that Larry got punched and he said, oh, he hit me almost right where I had my appendectomy. Didn't hit him right at the same spot, but almost. I felt bad for the Mondello kid.
Doug, the Tim Hortons on Big Ben Road is a pony. Thanks. That's from the Tim Man.
I haven't been to a Tim Hortons.
Ever?
No.
Can That's a donut shop be a pony?
I don't think so.
Some can.
I mean, the donut drive-in in St. Louis Hills is pretty strong.
There's a Tim Hortons by me in a bank.
It's by Schneidhorse, right?
Yeah.
Catty corner, baby, catty corner. I saw that, and I'm like, what is that all about?
So you think to yourself, I got to deposit this check or maybe check my balance. Oh, yeah. I think I'll get a frosted donut.
Mm. Now, this is the same Tim Horton that was a defenseman for the Maple Leafs
years
ago?
That's correct,
yeah. It's a big chain in Canada, and it's right. branched out
huge.
In this country.
I've heard of it. I've just never been to one. It's huge. Like a Dunkin' Donuts?
That's right. Doug, could you tell the audience about Fresh Start?
Well, yeah. Fresh Start is the alternative divorce services company with attorney Brent Lance. They handle only non-contested divorce cases for a low, flat fee. Now, you can argue and fight and hire your fancy lawyers, and they're going to charge you $20,000, $30,000. Chances are your case is going to come right back where it would have if you had tried to settle it amicably. You're going to get something around a 50-50 split. Usually, that's kind of the way it happens. So why not save all those enormous attorney fees and handle it in an amicable way, and let attorney Brent Lance show you how. He is motivated to see you resolve things quickly on your agreed-upon terms. In a very short period of time, Brent Lance has over 20 years' experience now practicing in multiple areas of law, and he's handled hundreds of non-contested divorce cases. Divorce doesn't have to be a big fight. Doesn't have to cost you $10,000, $20,000. Most attorneys are going to want a retainer. Use that up quickly, then continue to bill you hourly while you fight and fight, and many times you end up right where you would have been had you done yourself a favor and started with Fresh Start Divorce Services. Average case can get done in 45 to 60 days, and for the average person, this will cost you about a week's pay. So if you're facing divorce now, you really ought to call attorney Brent Lance, freshstartdivorces.com. Here's his phone number, 636-928-0444.
Don Davis, one of the great Americans who sponsors this radio program, Gateway Buick GMC, texted me about Cletus's game. Says, you know? Cletus's game is uncanny. Short off the tee, never gets in trouble, and scrambles around the green like a true pro. This is going to be a fun little 12-minute feature. You could do like a 30 for 30 on it.
I've never done a 12-minute story.
But with a story like this.
I would lose interest. 12-minute, you could do basically every shot he makes over the course of 18 holes.
Yeah, but then you could like analyze it. And you could talk about the azaleas.
We don't have them here. There's only one place where they have flowers.
You just name it something different, pitch it to your bosses. You go, I call it a mini doc. It's a mini documentary. Instead of saying it's a long story and I'm looking for something to cover the whole sports cast, so I don't have to cut up a million VOs,
right.
You call it a mini doc.
Okay.
And you know what? They'll be like, brilliant.
And we
Let's
just
go to lunch.
We follow behind him and we record every shot he makes.
And then you ask him questions. We call those in the shots. And then you mix VO and shots with a little track. And next thing you got a 12-minute package, or as you like to call it, a mini doc.
I just don't think that would have been very interesting TV if you had done that with Tiger Woods in his prime, to see every shot and then talk about every shot for 12 minutes.
You're a storyteller by trade.
But Cletus, different deal.
Different deal than Tiger. Not as good.
Debatable.
Apparently he scrambles. Not as good as Tiger.
If Cletus were to play Tiger right now, I might take Cletus.
Really?
Eldrick just had back surgery for the fourth time. And as Mark Mulder tweeted out, everybody's talking about him having back surgery. Nobody's talking about this is the fourth one. Who the hell is his surgeon? Fair point.
And you know what? Tiger Woods never in his heyday had to take 6 or 7 phone calls from Mike Lee.
While he was playing.
Yeah.
He had the Perkins waitress.
Right, he was taking phone calls from the ladies. And lots of them.
Doug, we got a break. Closes out the 8 o'clock hour. Chris Mason on the Blues and Predators coming up in about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And then the Hot Shots email of the day. Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots and a pair of Cardinal Field box tickets for this Friday night against the Reds. This weekend, the Cardinals host the Reds. The cat won't tell you about that. He ignores the Reds.
Yep.
And there are great giveaways every game, including a Martinez and Carpenter double bobblehead. Get your tickets now at cardinals.com/promotions. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7, HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.